Do please sit down. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a toddler's birthday party. Imagine some of you have. I heard about one where there was one child who was very jealous because it wasn't his party. And the child whose birthday it was getting all the presents, was getting all the attention, and this child was jealous. So he started to misbehave. He became quite obnoxious and unpleasant. And one of the parents went to him and said, "Johnny, it's not your party." I don't know if that is a picture that you can relate to, perhaps taking children or grandchildren or back when you were a toddler, maybe going to parties. Perhaps you're still like that, I don't know, when it's not your birthday. But it's easy for us as human beings to get short-sighted, to act as though it's all about me. We could broaden that, it's all about me and my family. Sometimes we can slip into that attitude and way of thinking, and our world sort of shrinks down to our immediate relations. Well, Psalm 2 tries to widen that perspective to give us a big picture of history. We've just started, since Easter, we've just started a sort of series looking at the first 12 Psalms. So you'll get all the even-numbered Psalms on this service, but I'm hoping that we will record all the others as we've done with previous series. So if you'd like to hear the odd-numbered Psalms, then do please ask me about that. They're all on our website. And Psalm 1 was about a decision about the believer's life. Are you going to follow the way of Yahweh, or are you going to follow the way of the world? And now Psalm 2 gives us this big picture of the world and what's going on in the world. And it starts with a lot of hate. "The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. The nations conspire and the peoples plot." The world is full of hate. I guess I probably didn't need to tell you that. But it's full of hate, particularly when it gets the whiff of Jesus. The world likes to be in charge, and Jesus challenges that. The Jewish authorities hated Jesus, didn't they? They crucified him. And since then, the authorities have hated Christians. Jesus said they would. He said, "If they hate me, they're going to hate you too. Bad luck, guys." And history is littered with Christians who have been persecuted or killed for their faith. Even in this country, even while we may not be killed by the authorities, by those in authority, when Christians stand up in public for the truth of the gospel, for the Christian biblical morality, we are ridiculed, put down, bullied, in the name of tolerance. The irony of that seems to be lost often. Jesus warned us of this, so we shouldn't be surprised. The second thing that the psalm points us to is the throne, the one enthroned in heaven. God's reaction to all that hate, he laughs. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. I don't know if you've seen the pictures on the news of the military parades that they have in North Korea. Have you seen those, where they're all marching and they've got these massive sort of missiles and they're parading this military power and strength? Well, God laughs at that because it's so puny. I was thinking of there's a film called Crocodile Dundee. I don't know if you've seen it. There's a famous scene in that where he says, "You call that a knife? Well, this is a knife." And he pulls out this massive sort of mini sword. Well, it's a bit like that with God. He says, "You call that power?" It might seem to us, and in some senses it is, a huge amount of power on display. And yet, compared to God's power, it's laughable. And God is full of wrath. The psalmist says God rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. That's a side of God that perhaps we find more difficult to hear. We tend to like God, picture him as the sort of the cuddly toy from the Generation Game, all sort of nice and warm and cuddly. And yet he should be angry at injustice. He should be angry at abuses of power. The New Testament describes God as a consuming fire. The nations think they are strong, but God sits on the throne, the mightiest throne of all. And it's interesting there, in verse 6, God says, I've installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. We hear a lot about Zion in the Bible, and it's a picture for us. It's a picture of strength, because that's what God uses it as. But actually, Zion is this tiny little bit of what's actually not a very impressive mountain in a really small country in the middle of nowhere. It's not actually, it's not like it's Mount Everest or something like that. It is a weak place. And out of that weakness comes the invincible strength of God. And that is a theme that runs right through the Bible, of invincibility through weakness. We don't like weakness, but it's through weakness that the power of God is made perfect. I really like that. So that's the world, then we see the throne. Then the next picture is of the Lord's decree. When God speaks, things happen, don't they? With the famous, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, things happen. And God's decree places his son on that throne. He gives his son the power and the authority to break the wickedness of the nations. It talks about breaking them with a rod of iron and dashing them into pieces like pottery. Again, it's a picture that perhaps we find difficult, thinking of Jesus smashing the nations to pieces like pottery. But we must remember the nations are not welcoming Jesus with open arms. The nations reject Jesus' rule. They reject his perfect peace. They say, no, this military might, that's what we want. So one day Jesus will come back and he will show them what true power really is. Psalm 2 tells us to lift our eyes up from our own life and look at this big picture of God who is in control, who is on the throne. Even when it feels like he isn't, he is still there. Even when it feels like the peoples are not plotting in vain, they are compared to God. The big picture is that one day God will come and he will break that rule. And he will usher in his perfect peace. See at the end there, God continues to address these rulers, these kings. Therefore, you kings, he says, be wise, be warned. He's giving them a warning here, but he's also giving them a chance. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. You're in danger, God says, but there's still chance. There's still hope if you come to the sun. Kiss the sun, the psalmist says. It's a symbol of submission, possibly kissing, bowing before him and kissing his feet, that sort of picture, saying, I acknowledge your rule. So even these nations who hate God, God is still giving them a chance for joy. Blessed are all who take refuge in him, is where the psalm ends. It could be translated, oh, the joy of those who take refuge in God. The danger is real, but so is the joy. Psalm 2 says, lift up your eyes. See what it real power looks like in God. Power through weakness. Lift up your eyes and find real joy by taking refuge in him. So in these unsettling times, I think Psalm 2 has some wise and helpful words for us. When you find yourself worried or upset by situations that feel out of control, perhaps open up your Bible, blow the dust off the cover if it's got dust on it, and read Psalm 2 and remind yourself who is really in control. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.